Good evening, everybody. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call to order the November 8, 2021 general meeting. Madam Clerk, may we have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Mikroviac?
I'm here, present.
Thank you. Councilmember Lewis.
Here.
Councilmember Furr.
Here.
Councilmember Sharman.
Here.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop.
I'm here.
Okay, all members are present and a quorum exists.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The next item is to read our vision statement, and it's my pleasure to do so tonight. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively, while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions. Before we start the meeting, just a few notes for people on Zoom here. Please be sure to mute your phones and keep your video off so that our bandwidth can handle it. This meeting will be recorded and posted on the website so you can run it again anytime. And the package will be projected and is also available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. The next item is the approval of minutes for the October 8, 2021 special meeting and for the October 11, 2021 general meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Yes, this is Vice Mayor Bishop. I move to approve by unanimous consent the October 8th, 2021 special meeting minutes and the October 11th general meeting minutes.
Do we have second?
This is Councilmember Lewis. I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the 10-8-2021 and 10-11-2021 meeting. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to these minutes? If so, please raise your hand on. Seeing no corrections or changes from the public, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Yes, on the minutes for October 8th, the special meeting, under public comment for non-agenda items, it states that public comment was heard at the end of the meeting. I wanted to make a motion to amend that to read public comment was overlooked and was heard at the end of the meeting. If I get a second, I can explain that.
The clerk tells us it doesn't require a motion. If anybody has any objections, we could certainly add that statement to the minutes. Does anybody object to that? Okay, any other council members have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Do any council members have any objections to accepting the minutes of the meetings as amended for the October 8th meeting by Councilmember Van der Zand? Hearing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. The next item is the mayor's request for agenda changes. I don't have any changes to the agenda. Does anybody else have any suggestions for alterations of our agenda here for any reason? Okay, hearing no suggestions for changes to the agenda, we'll consider the agenda set. And we'll move on to committee reports. For this, we'll have reports of up to about 5 minutes or so. And as you come on, please state your name in your department or your group that you're representing. Council members will have an opportunity to answer clarifying questions after each presentation. And the first that I have on the list is for the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition, and we have a report from them in our packet, very nice report. Is there anybody on the line from GPAC that would like to elaborate on the report or comment on it?
Yes, I am here. This is Sally McLaughlin. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, Sally. Please proceed.
Great. I'm calling in from the ferry, so it may be noisy in the background, but GPAC continued weekly meetings with DOT to maintain communication about the airport, and those have now gone to monthly from now on. Kelly primarily does those meetings. GPAC continue to advocate for the flux meter purchase and installation, and thank you very much to the City of Gustavus. The City Council approved funding for purchasing four of those, and they have now been installed. And you can read, I'm just kind of doing a little quick synopsis here of what I wrote. But we are very grateful to the City Council for your support of this project, and hopefully between this, the data we received from these and all the extensive testing that Shannon and Wilson is doing right now, has been doing the last couple of weeks, will give us a really good picture of what's happening with the flow and the levels of PFAS. GPAC members met with representatives from Lisa Murkowski's office. She had, there were some members from the Washington, D.C. office and from the Anchorage office here, and I believe Juneau. Kelly, the GPAC chair, met with Alaska Community Action on Toxins and with Senator Keel and Representative Hannon to address legislation going forward. These bills were Senate Bill 121 and House Bill 171 that were introduced last year and need to be brought forward again. We continue to provide low-cost water tests for residents. Anybody who is interested in getting their water tested and is not on Shannon and Wilson's list, we do have tests available, and we have just recently found a source from some less expensive tests, so hopefully we'll be getting some of those. And then Shannon and Wilson was here in Gustavus, and they may still be there, doing all kinds of work, and I have included down here some of the details, but the big thing is that they installed 23 additional monitoring wells and 16 temporary well points to further assess what's happening with PFAS in the area. And that's about it. If anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Sally. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Sally on the GPAC work? Seeing none, Sally, I'll particularly thank you on this. I did chat with the Shannon Wilson sampling guy just yesterday, and he was just about finished, he said. And I understand they got the flux meters installed too. So that's all great news. We'll look forward to getting their report. And thank you again for the efforts of GPAC and for your report.
And you're welcome. Thank you.
In going down my list, I actually passed over the Gustavus Visitors Association quarterly report. And I think I saw Leah on the list here. If you're here, let's hear from the GVA.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Leah Okin. I'm the president of the Gustavus Visitor Association. Thank you for inviting me. I'd like to, I'm just setting my time up here so I don't speak for more than 5 seconds. Okay. Because we have so many new council members, I'd like to talk, if I may, about what the Gustavus Visitor Association does. I know that you have the quarterly report, and I hope that you've had an opportunity to read it. And I want to highlight the mission of the Gustavus Visitor Association, which is very much in line with the vision statement of the city. So on our mission statement is, through the mission of the Gustavus Visitor Association is to enhance the economies of the city of Gustavus through marketing tourism that increases businesses' revenue, tax revenue, and creates jobs. Our primary goal is to increase overnight stays of leisure and business travelers, who in turn support local businesses through spending money, a boost to our economy. Gustavus Visitor Association is committed to promoting and elevating Gustavus's position as a world-class destination for travel, for leisure travel. Gustavus Visitor Association further serves to ensure tourism continues to contribute locally on a large scale, thereby enhancing the quality of life for all who live, work, and play here. So that's our mission, which is focusing on the economy and boosting the economy and creating jobs. I also see, I'm going to expand on that in the fact that the GVA feels as a center point supporting four pillars. And the four pillars of Gustavus are the visitor industry that brings in money, and the Gustavus Visitors Association finds visitors through the website and we engage with them. The other pillar is the businesses. A visitor association represents all businesses, not just the visitor industry businesses, but all businesses' interests. Then there's the community members. The community has doubled in the last 20 years, I would say. So we now have a population of about 655. So many of those new members are looking to find out, what's going on here in Gustavus, what services are available, and there isn't really a chamber of commerce. So the Visitor Association acts very much like a chamber of commerce. On our website, they can find all the businesses, or hopefully, all the businesses that are available. And also on the calendar of events that we have on our site shows every event that's happening. So, the community center will just show what's happening at their establishment, and the library will show what's happening at their establishment. City Council will show the meetings that are happening at City Council. But only the GVA has a one-stop shop to find out what all the events are happening in town, if you want to find out. And then there's the City of Gustavus City Council. So the GVA works very closely alongside City Council and communicates in a two-way street with all of these four pillars. So we have a pivotal role. It's not just about visitors. I wanted to highlight that. So with that, the main aspect of our quarterly report is that we started at the beginning of November, November 1st, our membership drive. And we depend on the membership money and also the bed tax to market all of Gustavus. Every business will market themselves, but only GVA markets all of Gustavus to bring in tourism, to bring in people, and to boost the economy. So we reinvest your money and we create money. So that is the purpose of the GVA. And I urge everybody to join. Whether you're a service, whether you're a business, and also join our meetings so you have a better understanding of what we've got going on. I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah, and thank you to the GVA for promoting our community. We're a visitor community, and your efforts are vital to the lifestyle here and our economy. So do any council members have any questions for the GVA? Leah Oaken. Okay, I don't see any more there. So thank you again, Leah, and thank you for the great work on behalf of our community.
Thank you.
The next is the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center quarterly report. Manager Paul Berry, please.
Can you hear me?
We do.
Okay, well, first of all, welcome to the new council members. Thank you for serving, and thank you, Mayor Taylor, for volunteering to serve as our city's mayor. I'm very grateful for that. So in my report, I won't kind of go over everything and just kind of give highlights or some other things that are related. And the labor pool has been advertised. If I get three applicants, that's the sweet spot. Five is the max, but three is the sweet spot. Just one interesting little note. I was working as the second operator assisting Ian last Saturday, and we had a very determined black bear at the facility. I haven't seen one of this determination. I don't know if I ever have. At 4:30, when I was preparing to leave the facility, he approached and I got into my aggressive, assertive, yelling mode and very excited and tried to assert my role in the place and just, made myself known. But that bear, he was intimidated by me, but he wasn't smacking his jaws and wasn't huffing. So I knew I could push him, but he left and came back and left and came back. There was a total of three cycles of that. And on the final one, he came from the outflow storage yard and was walking towards the composting yard. And I had mixed food waste that day, so I'm sure the odors were fresh. And while the black bear's coat was a beautiful coat, he didn't look especially fat. And he was approaching the gate, the closed gate on the thing. And fortunately, because he kind of looked like he pushed on it, but then he got a little snagged on the electric wire and became very alarmed and kind of rolled and got up and got out of there. And that's the very first time I have seen a bear get shocked. And I watched him earlier, and he had actually squeezed between the building and the electric fence, and his hair was kind of pushing the wire up, and he was not getting a shock at all. So I can see that they really have to get it into their skin in order to get a shock. But fortunately, this bear got a good shock and was alarmed by it and left. And I went back there on Sunday just to check on things, and there was no sign. So hopefully that incident just kind of gave them, you know, to stay back. Further down, hopefully this week, the new household hazardous waste container, which is, came in on today's ferry, will be installed by Toshua and Zach. Hopefully that'll go okay, and hopefully that's this week. Looking forward to having that set up and everything. It's been a project that's been a long time in the works. And also the RFP for the new building design and engineering hopefully went out today. I selected four different agencies or design architectural engineering firms to look at it. So I'm really hopeful that everything goes together on that. And ideally, the council will be able to take action on the finalist in their January meeting if all goes to plan. So a lot of things are happening. I hope you take the time to read the report and the inspection report by DEC. And I'll take any questions if people got them.
Thank you, Paul. That's a great bear story. And I'm glad particularly to hear that the hazardous storage unit has arrived. It's something we've been actually working toward for probably a decade, if I remember back. Do any council members have any questions for Paul? Any questions for Paul? Okay, thank you, Paul. And I did like your report, and it with all the pictures in it on the inspection was very nice. Okay, our next is the city administrator's report. And I got a text from city treasurer. Okay, I can go to city treasurer first. Thank you, Madam Clerk, for, you know, I'm jumping again. Do our finance department have a report for us, please?
Good evening, everybody. Well, I would like to highlight our tax income for this quarter. I did, there was a tax returns that arrived in November, and we updated this tax income summary to highlight the fact that we surpassed our annual budget tax income, which is amazing. So if you look at my report, there is a from July to November 2nd, which is what we received from the third quarter till November 2nd. This is not reflected in October, but in November, the whole quarter. That's why I put this little summary for people to understand what we really received for the quarter. And you can see the budget that we did on the right and on the left, what we actually received.
Okay, Madam Treasurer, thank you very much. And that really is good news. We're a third of the way through the year.
And excellent.
Our revenue income is now already what we forecast for the entire year. And of course, this is our big quarter, but still that indicates that we're in good shape. We didn't overestimate our income in doing the budgeting last year. So we're in good shape moving forward. And I appreciate the work of our finance department in collecting all that revenue and giving us this report. I'd comment also that while this is it's good news for the city to have our income, it also indicates that our businesses are doing well, because that's where the tax income comes from. And so congratulations to them for serving their customers well and doing well so far in this first quarter of our fiscal year. Do any council members have any questions for our treasurer? Okay, I'm not seeing any more there. So thank you again, Madam Treasurer, for your report. And we'll try to keep up the good work here. The next one on the list is the next on our list is City Administrator, and he may not be off the ferry yet. I got a text from him saying he's a little running behind. He's on his way to Juneau. So, but I'll give him a chance to Tom Williams, are you online yet by any chance? Yeah, it looks like he's still on his way to the hotel over there. So if when he logs in later, we'll maybe give him a chance at the end during council reports or some such to add what he may have to have. The next item is public comment on non-agenda items. And this period is for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion with the council, but we are pleased to hear from the public on anything that's not on the agenda that they would like to speak about. So if you'd like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you when it's your time to speak, or until it's your time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. We will have one opportunity for comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief, say about 2 minutes, please. So are there any public members of the public? I see Susan Warner with her hand up. Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just would like to welcome the new council, and I believe a copy of my letter to the Alaska Redistricting Board was distributed to you all, and I wanted to make myself available that if any of you had a question about the Alaska redistricting effort that's going on now, I would be happy to comment. Anybody have any questions for me?
Any questions from council members for Susan Warner on this topic? Looks like Tanya Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. I do not recall seeing a letter from you on this. Maybe it got buried in my inbox, but could you explain just briefly what's going on?
Thank you, Council Member Lewis. Yes, the Alaska Redistricting Board, every 10 years with the conduct of the census, the Redistricting Board is charged with dividing the current population of the state by 40 and coming up with 40 voting districts for the Alaska legislature. And the magic number for population per district this year is 18,335. And so there are the Alaska Redistricting Board is charged with trying to come up with maps that reposition people in the state into aggregate blocks that are of that number. And so the Alaska Redistricting Board at akredistrict.org has like six maps that they put out for public comment. And I wrote a letter to the Redistricting Board to express my opinion about which of those maps would best serve Gustavus. And the closest I could see to retaining Gustavus's current political voice into the Alaska legislature was for a map that was put forward by Doyon that would retain Gustavus being aligned with Juneau and Haines in terms of our socioeconomic, cultural, and political voice. But there are other competing maps to try to put Gustavus with, for instance, Huna and Yakutat. It's my opinion that Gustavus would best be served by retaining having a political voice in Glacier Bay and the coastal waters, which the Doyon map would remove. So I'm surprised that because I did it a week ago, that you did not get a copy of my letter that I sent into the city council. But perhaps you can ask the mayor and the clerk to redistribute that to you. The redistricting board, I believe, is charged with coming up with what their final map is going to be on something around November 10th. They have a public meeting scheduled on November 10th at 9 a.m., which is this Wednesday. So if you want to find out what their decision is going to be, that would be a good time to tune in. I just wanted to make myself available to council members to say it would behoove you to be aware of efforts afoot to redistribute Gustavus resources to other people in our neighborhood. And those are afoot, and it would be good to pay attention to those. And if anybody has any questions about the redistricting effort afoot, I'd be happy to make myself available.
Thank you. Do any other council members have a question for Susan Warner? Okay, thank you, Susan. And I did get your email, so but I'll ask the clerk to send it out again. I thought it had some good ideas in it. I appreciated the opportunity to understand those options better. By the way, people could probably ask Jesse Keel about this tomorrow evening. He'll be at, here for a town hall at the Gustavus Community Center at 6 p.m. So it's a pleasure to welcome our state senator again to Gustavus for that meeting tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. at the community center. Okay, well, thank you very much, Susan. And it looks like we have another comment from Whitney. Whitney.
Hi, thank you, Council. I think probably Tom Williams would be the best to speak to this, but I'm curious on an update of the RCA rate case for our electric utility. It's matter U-20-072. And I believe it might have had a public hearing today that he was probably privy to. Just wondering if there was any update and or if we can get information sent out on that before it goes final. Thanks.
Thank you, Whitney. Do any council members have a question for Whitney about that? Okay, I'll ask our Madam Clerk to please send out any information that we got. Maybe we can put something out in the news or something. We can get a summary from Tom on what's going on that and get the word out. Thanks. Do any other members of the public have any comment for non-agenda items this evening before during this opportunity? There is a later opportunity at the end of the meeting. Susan, yeah, I see you're unmuted. Did you want to speak about something else or were you just now lowering your hand?
Yeah, sorry, just lowering my hand. Thank you.
Okay, we wanted to make sure we weren't missing something here. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. And we have three items on it. The first is one of our more or less monthly certificate of records destruction, as our able clerk keeps up with our record keeping requirements and continually sorts through. And so, we routinely call things out of the records that are now out of date and are due to be destroyed in the course of their proper, the end of their required keeping time. So that's a routine item on our consent agenda that we would approve with a consent agenda. We did discuss that briefly at our work session. And the next item on the consent agenda is another fairly routine item dealing, it's in which the city of Gustavus waives the right to file a protest of the new alcohol license application for the Sunnyside Market license. And we're working on getting that up on the screen now. This again is also a routine thing that as I explained in the work session, from time to time, when a new license is applied for or when a license is due to be renewed, the Alcohol Beverage Board gives the city the opportunity to object if the city feels that the operator is not operating in a way that meets the public interest with regard to alcohol sales and so forth. And I know of no problem or objections to this. So we have it on our consent agenda, and it passed then we will notify the alcohol board that we do not object to that license being issued. And then the third item is FY2209 NCO Endowment Fund Grant Transfer. And this is to introduce this NCO, which will move the funds that are allotted this year from our endowment fund investment account to a checking account for use in paying awardees their grants under the endowment fund when they are determined in December. So we will, by passing this item on the as a consent agenda item, we are approving that introduction and scheduling the final action on that and public hearing on it for the December meeting. Do any members of the public wish to have any item that's on the consent agenda removed from the consent agenda and moved to seeing none, do any council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, do we have a motion from a council member to adopt the consent agenda by?
This is Councilmember Lewis, and I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
This is Councilmember Burr. Sellafer. I second.
Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Hearing no objections, the consent agenda is adopted, and those three items will be taken care of. We have no unfinished business on the agenda tonight, so we move on to new business. And the next item on that agenda is to award the RFQ FY22-03RM for fiscal year 22 snow plowing. And do we have a motion for this item, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move to award the contract for snow plowing of city roads as described in RFQ FY22-03RM to Glacier Bay Construction in accordance with their quotation dated 10/25/21 and the amount of $28.75 per plowing event.
Thank you. Do we have a second? I guess we're shy tonight, so I'll second that. So it's been moved by Councilmember Vander Zanen and seconded by me, the mayor, to award RFQ FY22-03RM for FY22 snow plowing to Glacier Bay Construction per their quotation. Do we have any public comment on this agenda item? Hearing none, public comment period is closed at 7:42, looks like on the clock here. Do any council members have any comments on this item? Well, I'll make a note on this. This snowplowing RFQ that we're awarding right now is going to operate a little differently than it did in the last year. The single bidder that we had was Glacier Bay Construction, and they notified us that they're going to be short one of their major plow trucks for a good portion of the season, in that it needs some major repairs. So they have bid to do the main roads only, not wishing to make us think that they would be able to do them all. So they have bid to do the main roads and our parking areas, and that will leave some of our side roads yet to be, we'll have to find another way to get the side roads plowed. And we're in the process actually right now of developing another RFQ to cover supplementary snow plowing, and we hope to have it out for quotations in a few days. We did this, we had a similar situation back in 2015-16 winter, and we used a supplementary system to fill in, and it worked just fine that year, so we hope that it does again this year. So we'll be getting something out in the street to fill in the plowing that Glacier Bay Construction is not able to do this year. So if there are no more council comments on it, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Yes.
Council Member Furr?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Council Member Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Council Member Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll move on now to item 12, which is to accept the request or the proposal under RFP FY22-01 COG Civil Engineering Evaluation and Recommendations for the Good River Bridge. Do we have a motion for this item?
Yes, this is Council Member Sharman. Mr. Mayor, I move to accept the response to RFP FY22-01, City of Gustavus Civil Engineering Engineers Incorporated, dated October 14th, 2021, in the amount of $15,500.
Van der Zanden, second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Councilmember Lewis, seconded by Councilmember Van der Zanden to accept the proposal from PND Engineering for an evaluation and recommendation on the Good River Bridge repair as submitted in their proposal. I guess I should explain what an RFP is for those in the audience who might not be aware. We use a request for proposal for professional engineering work or consultant work when we need that kind of expertise. So this is not for a construction. This is not construction that is being done, but rather an engineer's evaluation of the Good River Bridge, which is a 40-year-old structure. And we'd like to, we've asked them to give us their recommendations for repairs pursuant to the state's last couple of inspection reports, which noted a number of items that were in need of replacement or upgrade. And we also are asked them to evaluate the bank failure problem that's happening at the northwest corner of the bridge, where there's a side stream that comes into Good River there. That bank is sliding a little bit. So we wanted to make sure that we had the right approach to that so that we don't lose that bridge abutment prematurely. And we would like to keep that bridge going for another 40 years. So that's part of the idea here. They, with a request for proposal, they give us rates for their work. It's not a fixed price exactly at $15,500, but that's an estimate of about what they might spend given what we are asking them to do. So by accepting this proposal, Tom and I will work with them to have them carry out their evaluation of the bridge and give us a written report on exactly what we need to do. And if we want to proceed farther to have them do some design documents for us, we can do another, have another agreement with them for that. But this gets the whole thing started and it's long overdue. Do any council members have any questions about this item?
Point of order. We need to do public comment first and then council comment.
Yeah, thank you very much for catching me on that. Do we have any public comment on the award of this proposal? Okay, seeing none, we'll go back to council comment. Seeing no council comment, Madam Clerk, could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Burr?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll look forward to moving that inspection and report forward. The next item, we'll move on to item 13. And it's this one's particularly a pleasure, and that is to appoint Sol Martinez as our new permanent Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department chief. Sol has accepted the offer that we have made him to move from his interim position into a permanent position, or what's really called a regular position. It's a pleasure for me to recommend to the council that they approve his appointment. Do we have a motion, please, for
I move to appoint Sol Martinez to the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department Fire Chief position.
This is
Councilmember Farmer.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Furr and seconded by Councilmember Sharman to appoint Sol Martinez as the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department Chief. Do any members of the public have any comment on this item? Seeing none, do any council members have any comment on this? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
That's excellent. And congratulations to Sol Martinez for his new position. The next item is to swear in Sol in his new position. And I see Sol is online on this call, so I'll ask the city clerk to swear him in over Zoom, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sol, I'd like to ask you if you can to turn on your camera and raise your right hand and repeat after me. Ah, there you are. Okay. I, Sol Martinez,
I, Saul Martinez.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Alaska.
The Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And the ordinances of the City of Gustavus, Alaska.
And the ordinances of the City of Gustavus, Alaska.
And that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform.
And that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform
the duties of the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Chief.
The duties of the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Chief.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Thank you. Congratulations, Saul.
Congratulations, Saul. We look forward to working with you in a new position and seeing our volunteer fire department continue to improve and become, I hope, I think quite reasonably, the best local volunteer fire department for a small town in Alaska. We've got that great potential, and I appreciate your willingness to lead the department in that direction. So congratulations.
Thank you.
The next item is city council reports. And this is not to be confused with the council questions and comment, which will come up next. But if council members are wishing to make a report on any special projects like marine facilities, roads, internet, something they've been working on. I know many of you suggested you'd like to take on some stuff. And if you have got something to report on a project that you're pushing forward, we'd be pleased to hear from you now. So please raise. Okay, I've got a few comments that I thought I'd give you a quick report on some of the stuff I'm working on. And our Madam Clerk just suggested that I make some comment about the steel float at the dock and what we're doing with that. I think Tom may have been intending to say something about that. And you may be aware that Ben's Adler, our marine facilities coordinator, has been working to come up with a way to move that float. But unfortunately, there's a Coast Guard requirement now for towing for vessels that are large enough to really handle that float that makes it hard for anybody who's not already in the tug business or something similar to do that work commercially for us. And we did get a quote from Trucano for $15,000 to move it one way, it'd be another $15,000 to get it back. And that seems to us to be a little bit over the top. Joe Vander Zanden's been working with Ben on this, I know quite a bit. And as has City Administrator Tom Williams. Tom's been in contact with the engineers at DOT. One of the issues was that when they built that float system for us, there was an agreement with the city that we would move it over to Bull Moose Cove for the winter for its safety. And we had intended to do that, but as I mentioned, it's turning out not to be something that's all that easy to do. And we were talking to them about maybe leaving it in place after all, because the new system of securing it is much more rugged than the one that failed some years ago when that float was torn away and ended up on the beach. So Tom is working with them to see if they agree with us that it'll probably be safe enough where it is. And if so, we would lift up the ramp that goes down to it during storm period so that the ramp can't get beat up. And we think the float will probably be fine if we leave it attached to the bollards that pilings that it is attached to. So that's kind of where that is right now. We don't have a final determination, and we hope within the next day or two to determine whether that's going to be an okay approach for us. Some other things that I've been working on, I've been working a lot still with Tom on continuing to define and fill in the information that's needed by, that's asked by FEMA for our flood recovery funding reimbursement. We're looking at quite a few tens of thousands of dollars that we have spent to restore roads and ditches and so forth, and frankly, improve them considerably since the December flood. And it's a long process. We meet with them almost every Monday, and we met again today. We're very close to finishing all of the data that has to go into their grant system online, which is pretty bureaucratic, I'd have to say, so that they can move that forward and give us some reimbursement. It'll probably be months before we get it, but I think it's going to prove to have been worth our considerable amount of time. We probably spent hundreds of hours on it with them. It actually takes more time to qualify for the refund with them than it does to get the work done in the first place. But we're grateful for that opportunity for funding because it's allowed us to make some substantial improvements as we cleared out debris and so forth. So we're going to end up with a much better flood control system as a result. And I hope we won't see any more floods into the subdivisions along Wilson Road. I don't ever want to see that happen again to the folks that live there. So that's something we're spending quite a bit of time on. We also have two RFQs that are out as part of that project. One is for a Wilson Road drainage rehabilitation, where we're extending ditches along Wilson Road and putting in a couple of culverts there. And then also up at the Wilson Rink Creek bend there by the gravel pits where the big culvert is there, we're installing riprap to make sure we're stabilizing that culvert because we got a partial sinkhole develop in it during the flood that occurred just last August. And we don't want to be have a possibility of losing that culvert if we get another really big one like we had last December. So that system is working well, and I'm pleased that our flood diversion thing there is working pretty well. We're also planning more projects for some other roads like Fairweather Road, same old road, Tong Road for areas that flooded to improve ditching and culverts there. Also, we hope with funding from FEMA. Another item we worked on today was drafting that RFQ for supplemental snow plowing that I mentioned earlier of the side roads, and hope to get that out shortly. You're all probably aware that the infrastructure bill, the bipartisan one, passed the other day. And it's a huge opportunity for us here to take advantage of the funding that's going to provide. But like communities all over the nation, you don't just suddenly have all this work suddenly appear once Congress approves it. The money goes out, and then you got to design the projects, and you got to qualify for the funding, and you got to put them out to contract. We have to meet all the federal contracting requirements, just as we're doing now in those recent RFQs. So it's going to take us quite a bit of work, but we're looking forward to having the opportunity to make some more improvements, particularly to roads and drainage systems, and maybe some other things through the funding that'll be available from that program. I've also been working with Bruce Wyrock of DNR. He's in mining, land, and water, and he's accepted the responsibility of moving our beach CRMA update forward. It kind of stalled when the previous guy left the department there. So Bruce is working very effectively on this. He's in contact with me almost every day, getting caught up on details on it. And we look forward to having that CRMA update finalized so that we can bring it back to the council for approval. And then my signature, and then we can move forward to implement the items in that CRMA. And we hope for it to end up with a beach park that's got something for everybody in the community. There's a lot of road work we've been doing, trying to keep the roads as smooth as possible with winter coming on. They're actually pretty smooth now, and if it stayed frozen, it'd be great for the winter. That probably won't happen. They'll probably warm up and soften up with more rain, but we'll keep doing our best to keep them as smooth as possible for everyone. Here in City Hall, I'm working with the administrative staff to develop a plan to adjust some of our pandemic controls and measures in city facilities. We know as the risk levels change, and with the pandemic appearing to wane slightly statewide, we hope that it will in our region as well. And with changes in that risk environment and conditions, we need to be prepared to adjust the protective measures that we have in place for city facilities. So I know a lot of people are concerned about, are we just stuck in some set of controls? And no, we're always looking at how to adjust them so that we can make our facilities as easily available to the public. So they feel comfortable coming in, they feel safe, and they don't have to worry about exposure here. But it still is we still have a really difficult situation statewide, and the State Department of Health today put out their weekly notice on latest cases and deaths, and they got caught up on the death reports. There were 53 more added statewide today. Most of those were in September. There were 163 deaths in September of COVID of Alaskans. It remains something that we have to all do our best to protect ourselves, our families, our friends and neighbors, and our community. So I appreciate those of you who are taking those extra steps and caring for each other. Remember, that was the last bullet in our vision statement, that we do that. So that's what I have for what the mayor's been working on lately. And so again, are there any council members with anything else they've, any other reports? I don't think we had. Okay, the last item on the agenda is almost the last item, City Council questions and comments. Do City Council members have any other questions or comments, anything they'd like to mention? Okay, I guess people must be getting tired of hearing me want to give up on this. Okay. I scrolled down too far. Just a sec. Okay, Louis Sherman, would you like to comment, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just briefly like to take this opportunity to recognize and thank both Eduarda and Phoebe for, you know, their efforts to keep our fiscal house in order. I think it's the transition between the two of them is really a model of how we'd like things to go. And I continue to have great confidence in the financial side of things for the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, Lewis. Council Member Sharman, and now Council Member Lewis, please.
That's confusing. I think all council members got a letter about the newly installed tsunami warning siren tower. And just wondering if anyone had any background of where that tower had originally been planned and how it came to be where it is and what we might be able to do about it because it's blocking some view sheds. Thanks.
I can try to give you a little background on it. Got installed at the end of the last administration. That one wasn't one of my projects. What I know about it was originally it was intended to go just across the road from where it is now, across Boat Harbor Road. So a few yards from its current location. That would have required a bunch more cable laying to run the power over to it. And the thought at the time was that if it was installed right behind Ben's new maintenance facility there for the harbor, where we also have power and we have a transformer, that would be a shorter and less expensive lay for the electric power and so forth. So I think that was the idea behind it. And was still there where it would not have its sound blocked too much by adjacent trees and the like. However, I'm aware of the comment from the neighbor over there, and I've got it on the agenda for us to talk about at the next work session. So I think that'd be a good time to give it some more thought among all of us.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do any other council members have any other comments or questions? Okay, I guess that takes us to our second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public have any comments? You recall the process that I outlined the first opportunity, and if so, we'd be pleased to hear from you now. Okay, I don't see any other public comment, and I just got a notification that Tom Williams is online now. And Tom, if you would like to give us a report that we missed hearing from you earlier while you were still traveling, we'd be delighted to hear from you now.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not sure if you had a chance to identify the report and the intent to get some feedback on council training that you and I had discussed. So working with the mayor, the idea was to break up our new council training that we hold annually into more bite-sized chunks. We felt like the previous trainings was a bit of an overload. And if we were able to do it in about 1.5 hour segment over the next couple of months, it might be more useful. So we threw together a schedule that identified proposed dates and topics, and the idea of using the particular structure was to give the clerk the initial slot so that a primer to local government could be made. We know that there's the online AML training and that an opportunity to get some of the basics down. Then we could follow that up with more specific to Gustavus. And then the disposal and recycling center, we were looking at trying to double that up with marine facilities because both Paul and Ben would not be available for dates further on than getting into December and January, as trying to get them while they were still here in town. We would follow that up with the library and the fire department. January, the idea there was to have a budget overview as we get ready to do the fiscal year 22 budgets, the capital improvement plan, which we do our request to the state that goes out in February. Hopefully we'll have in our work session the ability to have a discussion about capital projects that we want to put on that list. And then we would finish up with the mayor and myself. The topics that are identified are proposed topics. If council members have specific areas or subjects that they wanted to go over, we could add or substitute those. As we start going through these different presentations by staff, it may trigger a desire to have more information on any one of those particular areas that we can cover as a wrap up February. So I was speaking with the mayor about this, and we're hoping that if any of the council members have any thoughts about the new council training, areas they'd like to see in more detail or change in schedules because dates don't work. We're real flexible. This is a preliminary, a draft, and that we would be able to go through and customize this more as the council members think they want to hear more on any particular subject. So please send an email to the clerk or myself or the mayor and let us know what your thoughts are. The other item I have on the report is our roads update. As you can see there, our roads team continues to make repairs and improvements to the city maintained roads. The mayor and I are closing in on completing the FEMA application to get reimbursed for all the work that Gustavus has seen over the last several months, almost a year now. You might see Justin and Ponch out there working continuously on smoothing our roads, maybe doing some ditch work or brushing. So a big shout out to them for all the hard work and additional work that they had in doing the recovery from the flood last December. Not on the list, though. I was trying to follow best I could on the phone. There were some comments about the rate case, and maybe there were some others that I missed. I'm happy to address those, Mayor, if you would like, or carry it over to next month's meeting. Just let me know what you'd like to hear about.
Thank you, Tom. Any council members have questions about Tom?
Yeah, this is Jim Mack. I'd like to hear a little bit about the rate case.
Okay, so the rate case is not complete. AP&T has reached a settlement with the state. The details of that yet are not finished. The trial was to happen this month. The settlement agreement was drafted, approved by the RCA, and we had to agree to the terms of the agreement. And working with the mayor, we identified the four issues that we went into the rate case wanting to see some agreement on. And those four areas are in the draft comments to the for the case. We have APC agreeing to conduct a cost, service, and rate design study before or with APC's next rate case, which they're scheduling that for August of 2023 as of now. Remember, this hasn't been finalized. And then the study would happen in the test year in 2022. APC will study the report line losses for rate group three, that's us, on an annual basis so that we can have a better idea of any line loss and what that looks like. In speaking with APC, there were some concerns in the community about where the increases were coming from, and we were concerned that there was a line loss happening with the buried cables. They did an analysis of the line losses, and they found that they only had 1-2% of line loss through the buried cables, that most of their losses were coming from their meters. So that's why we were asking for the continued annual review of line loss. Also, the revenues realized by APC related to the Park Service signing on in the quarterly COPA, cost of power adjustment, tariff filings. We wanted to see that included with our COPA instead of being included with all of the users, or all of the communities that were benefiting from the park coming online for our rate group. We also wanted to ensure that no costs incurred by APC to connect with the park was going to be passed on to any of the APC ratepayers. They agreed that those costs would be held by the park. So those are all in our comments. And they are what we discussed with APC previously. We hope that those will go on without any challenges or any changes. And we expect to see the final rate case. I think the hearing for the settlement was going to be 22nd or 23rd of this month. So hopefully by the December meeting, I'll have been able to send off the final rate case and any of the terms that go along with that.
Thank you for that great description. it's certainly good to know that our inner tie is in place and will soon be in operation completely after their testing. And we'll look forward to maybe getting a reduction in our power bills due to as they adjust for the extra demand from the park using the cost of power system. So we'll see it as a negative COPA, as I understand. And dealing with the line loss is important because that actually affects our PCE rate, as I've noticed in looking at their calculations. So we do have an interest in them reducing line loss. Any other questions for Tom on any of his reports? Okay, and some of us are in the online AML new council member training starting tomorrow. And I did the one last year, but I'm doing it again this year. And it's a very good basic introduction to the requirements of being on a city council and how a city works. But the supplementary program that Tom has outlined, I think, is going to be particularly useful because it will do something that AML training can't do, and that is provide a description of how our particular city works and what our functions are, how we're set up, what our policies and procedures and ordinance and so forth is. So I'm looking forward to that series of get-togethers for all of us over the next few months as we build our understanding of how we operate the city. So one last chance, any other council members with any and any other further business that anybody thinks should come up? Okay, with no further business, I'm pleased to adjourn our meeting at 8:28. And thank you all for joining us over Zoom, and wish you a good evening.
Thank you all.